Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In Anwar al-Salah, yesterday we had done the first sabak of the Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullah alayhi, and the summary of it was being given by Sufi Iqbal Sahib. So just very quickly, we'll go through these few points that he mentioned. The first that he mentioned here was that continuously read in regards to the importance of Salah. And he says one of the kitabs is of the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi, which is Fazail al-Namaz, which is read over here. In Fazail Amal, he says, make mutala of this. That by reading about the importance of salah again and again, he says the importance of this will be instilled into our hearts. Now a person will realize how important namaz is because he's continuously repeating what he is reading. The second thing he mentioned, that a person should think to himself that this command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that I must perform salah, is this a weight, a burden that is upon me, or is this a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala for which I cannot make shukr to Allah Ta'ala? So he says, indeed, this is a ni'mat of Allah. Salah is not a burden upon us. But salah is actually a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has favored us by giving us salah. And he explained this in detail. He says, one is that I was absolutely nothing. And from nothing, Allah Ta'ala made me the best of creation. And after making me the best of creation, Allah Ta'ala then commanded me. He says, 5 times a day, you come to my threshold, you come to my house, and whatever your need is, then you present your need before me 5 times a day. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made it such that to come to the masjid, we don't need to ask any God that give me permission to come into the masjid. Or we don't have to tell somebody to intercede, tell them to allow me to come into the masjid. A man, he wants to go and see some minister, he wants to see the president. How much of red tape he has to go through? So many people. And then today make so many excuses, finally perhaps he doesn't even get to see the president. But Allah Ta'ala, who is the King of Kings, you don't have to go through any God. You don't have to ask anyone to intercede on your behalf. Direct, you just come straight into the masjid, it is open for you. And whatever your need is, directly you present this need to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he says Allah Ta'ala made it so easy for us. And then on top of that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said that if you're not going to come, then I will punish you, I will send my adab. So he said, look how Allah Ta'ala said, for a person now to be deprived of these great, great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, he says that this indicates that a person is totally foolish and a person is totally base. Only that person will be deprived of this great ni'mat of salah. So that's the second point that has been summarized by Sufi Iqbal. The third point that he mentioned, that we are talking about gaining concentration in our salah, which most people have a problem with, they don't have concentration in salah. So he says, what is the minimum requirement of concentration? One was the easy view that we gave of Hazrat Murana Hussain Ahmad Madni rahmatullah alayh, where Hazrat mentioned that in your salah, one time. Just think of Allah Ta'ala, minimum of one time. But that's the bare minimum. But here Hazrat Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullah alayh says that in every rukun of salah, in every posture of salah, he says, for one moment, just think of Allah Ta'ala. When you're standing, think of Allah Ta'ala once, minimum. When you go into ruku, think of Allah Ta'ala once. When you're in sajda, think of Allah Ta'ala once. So he says that in every rukun, every posture, think of Allah Ta'ala once. And then think that I'm standing before Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala's attention is on me. Allah Ta'ala's favor is upon me. And when you come across a verse that speaks of the bounties of Allah, when you speak about Jannat, then at that time, desire for that bounty. And make dua in your heart that Allah Ta'ala grant it to me. And you come across a verse where Allah Ta'ala speaks of His azab, of His punishment, of His anger, then at that time fear should come into a person. And a person should make dua in his heart that Allah Ta'ala protect him from that. So these were the 3 points that we discussed. The fourth point. یہ کہ نماز کے عظمت کو خوب سمجھنے کے بعد تمام آداب کے بادشاہ حقیقی کی قبولیت کے لائق ہے اس کو بجا لائے. He says, now that you have understood the greatness of namaz, that how great salah is, what a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala it is. He says, after understanding this, we should try and implement those adab and those etiquettes of salah that will bring our salah to the level of acceptance. Bring those etiquettes by which it will come to the level of acceptance. Like for example, you take a child, the child wants something. So maybe the child is in grade 2, grade 3. And one is he enforces it upon his parents that you have to get this for me. So that parent, he won't give it to the child. He says, no, you have to have respect. You have to know how to ask. And a child that comes and he humbly asks his parents that, you know what, can you buy this for me? Please, I want this. Now the parent's heart would also melt. And now he will buy it for the child. So similarly, when we come into the court of Allah Ta'ala, with all the adab and all the etiquette, just a little bit of etiquette, we find that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will accept immediately. Allah Ta'ala is Shakur. Shakur is الَّذِي يُعْطِي الْأَجْرَ الْجَزِيلَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ الْقَلِيلِ. That you do a little bit of amal. But on that little bit, Allah Ta'ala appreciates so much that Allah Ta'ala will give you a lot of reward for the little bit effort that you made. That is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It's written about a king, Mufti Taqi Sahib has written in his kitab, that there was a person that was living in the villages, and he was living near Iraq, in Baghdad. So there was no rain at one stage. So in those days, when people had any need, then they would go to the king. But before presenting their request to the king, what would they do? They will go with some gift for the king, and they will present this gift to the king, and then they will present their request. So this villager, he thought to himself that, I have a need. Now what must I take to the king? What must I present to the king? So he started thinking. So he said, you know, in Baghdad, there's no fresh water in Baghdad. He was from the village. He didn't know what's Baghdad and what's the city. So he said, there's no fresh water in Baghdad. So he said, you're from the village. Let me gather some fresh water. And that is something that is precious to them in the village. So he gathered the fresh water and he put it into a container. He closed it up. And then he decided to go to Baghdad. So many days he had to travel through the desert, extremely hot. So he came to the palace of the king. And when he came to the palace of the king, he went to the king and he said that, I brought this gift for you. So the king took the gift. Already that whole container was messed up. All the sand of the desert, all that was messed. So he told his people that were working there, his servants, take him and give him a good room. Let him rest over there. And when they opened that container, that whole room, there was stench, it started smelling. Because so many days it was in the container, in the heat. So he told his servants, he said, take this water and throw it away. And he says, in place of the water, put gold coins in here. And give him the gold coins. And then he said, when he is returning now, when he's going home, he says, take him on the route, take him in the boat, in the Tigris River. And then take him onto the shores, and then let him depart, let him go home. So they filled it up with the gold coins, they brought the container, they gave it to him. And thereafter, when he's leaving, he's now put into the boat and he's going in through the river. So now he's thinking to himself that under the palace of the king, there's water here, fresh, fresh water. And what water I brought all the way from the desert, and what must have been the condition of that water. But look at the kindness of the king, that he didn't reject that water of mine also. He accepted that water. And in place of that water, he gave me gold coins. And with royal treatment he kept me, and now he is returning me home. So more than that is the kindness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala upon us. So just a little bit of etiquette, and how wouldn't Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept our amal? So same, he's saying over here, that just have a little bit of etiquette, and that Allah implement this etiquette, and this will make your salah worthy of being accepted. In adab mein awwal darja mein taharat aur pakizgi, he says, the first level of etiquette is pertaining to your cleanliness, to your purity, that your wudu has to be in order. Starting, we already discussed in detail, from the time a person goes to relieve himself, then the wudu of a person, the ghusl of a person, all these aspects have to be in order. That's the first level of etiquette. Dusra namaz ka tariqah. And secondly, your method of performing salah. That your method must be in order. The outward of a person, that has to be in order. Which we explained previously, this is what is referred to as khudu. Khudu is the outward humbleness of the limbs of the body. And khushu is the inside quality of the heart. Where the heart of a person is connected to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he says the outward has to be in order, the method of performing salah. Yani wudu aur namaz ke fiqhi masail, jo risala ta'lim ul-islam waghaira mein bayan kiya hai. That a person must know the masail, the fiqhi masail of wuzu and salah, which has been written in the kitab Ta'limul Islam. Agar na ma'loom ho, to pehle isko seek lo. He said, if you don't know the masail of wudu, you don't know the masail of salah, go and learn the masail of wudu and the masail of salah first. Kha jitne din isme lag jaye, irrespective of how many days you spend in learning this. This is so important that learn the masail of wudu and the masail of salah. Then only will a person be able to perform salah. Then only will he be able to make his wudu correctly. If you don't know the masail, how are you going to make it correctly? Taaki namaz ke tamam faraiz, wajibat, mustahabbat, aur mufsidat wa makruhat, khub pehchane. He says that if you know the masail of namaz, then you will be able to fulfill that which is the faraz of namaz. Person knows what is faraz. The qiyam posture is faraz in namaz. that to go into ruku, to go into sajda, in the final duration, if it's a 4 rakat namaz, then the final posture in the 4th rakat, the sitting posture. Or if it's a 2 rakat namaz, the final sitting posture, which is after 2 rakat, to sit for the duration of at-tahiyyah, that is the faraz of namaz. So now a person knows that this is a faraz of namaz. What is those actions that will make my namaz fasid? What will nullify my namaz? He will know that. The makruhat, that which is makruh in namaz. All these aspects a person will come to know. Taake is darje mein isko malhuz rakhe. So he keeps all this in his place, that this is faraz, this has absolute importance. I can never miss this. If I miss my faraz, my namaz is invalid. Or this is a breaker of namaz. If I indulge in this act, my namaz is going to become invalid. Ye baatein to suluk ikhtiyar karne se pehle seekhni zaruri hai. He said, these things that we're talking about, these masail of namaz, you're supposed to learn these masail before treading this path to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Suluk is to tread the path to Allah. Before treading this path to Allah ta'ala, you're supposed to learn all these masail of namaz. Humne ihtiyatan isliye likh diya ke baaz zakir shaghil hazarat ko iski taraf khususi tawajjuh nahi hoti. He says that here, as a precautionary measure, we have just written this, that you must learn the masail of namaz, the masail of wudu, because many people, they involve in zikr. They involve in spiritual exercises. They want to reach Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But the basics of namaz, they don't show no importance to this. What are the masail of namaz? They don't know. The masail of wudu, they don't know. But they are worried about treading the path to Allah ta'ala, which is very important. But learn the basics first. Learn the basics. Mawlana Thani rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, insan banna ho, to hamare yahan aajao. When you become a human being, come to us. We'll make you a human being. Buzruk banna ho, kahi aur chale jao. And you want to become buzruk, then you must go somewhere else. Here we don't make buzruks. Here we'll teach you the basic, how to become a human being, how not to cause harm to another person. So exactly the same Hazrat is writing here, that learn the basics first. And then a person treads the path now, the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Unhi madkura bala farayiz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat ka, namaz ke har rukan mein dhyan rakhna, namaz mein dil ki huzuri kehlati hai. He says, what is for a person to be concentrating in salah? He says, concentration in salah, what we are trying to achieve here is concentration. So he's saying, concentration in salah is that a person fulfills the faraiz, he fulfills the wajibat, and is conscious that this is faraz in namaz. He is conscious that this is the wajib of namaz, this is the sunnat of namaz, this is the mustahab of namaz. He says, this is concentration. A person, he's reading the tasbih in ruku, subhana rabbiyal azim. What is the status of that tasbih? Now, many people won't know. That is the sunnat of namaz. So now when a person is reading that tasbih, he is conscious that this is sunnat and I'm reading this. To read at-tahiyyat in a 4 rakat namaz, after 2 rakat you're reading at-tahiyyat. What is the status of that at-tahiyyat? Generally people don't know. So that is a wajib of namaz. So he says, if a person has to just concentrate on these aspects, that to read that at-tahiyyat after 2 rakat, to read at-tahiyyat is a wajib of namaz. The other day we're reading the witr salah. So the imam, he missed the qunut. And instead of reading the qunut, he went into ruku. So the whole congregation, they brought the imam back up. Now you're not supposed to bring the imam up. The qunut is a wajib of the witr. And a wajib, that's the place that it must be read. Once you pass that place, now the imam has gone into ruku, the place of the wajib has already passed. So a wajib that has been omitted unintentionally, that wajib is rectified by making sajda sahu at the end of a namaz. So the imam, when he is in ruku, you can't bring him up. Now you go and join him in that ruku. And you complete the salah with him, he will make sajda sahu in the end, and he will make salam. And in that way, the salah will be in order. Yes, when the imam is standing, and those that are immediately behind the imam, they will pick up that he is going to now make an error. It seems like the imam is going into ruku. So before he goes into ruku, if they indicate at that stage that you have to read the qunut, then it is acceptable. So see, the wajib of salah, they didn't know. That is the wajib of salah. And a wajib left out in unintentionally, how should it be rectified? So that's what he's saying. Concentration is, know, learn these things. What is faraz in namaz? What is wajib in namaz? What is mustahab in namaz? What is sunnat in namaz? And be conscious of this while you're in salah. That is concentration of salah. Jiski ahmiyat, Hazrat Sayyid Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi ne bayan farmayi hai. He says the importance of this, knowing what is faraz, wajib, sunnah and mustahabbat, he says, Hazrat Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullahi in this kitab, he has already explained this. اور نماز میں حضور قلب کا یہی مطلب ہے. And he says that for the heart to be present in namaz, to concentrate in salah, this is the meaning that has been taken by who? By Hazrat Mujaddid al-Faisani rahmatullah alayhi ne bhi bayan farmaya hai. Which Hazrat Mujaddid al-Faisani rahmatullah alayhi, who was the reviver of deen in the second 1000 years of Islam. Many bid'at, many customs that were in deen, he came and he removed all these customs. So Mujaddid al-Faisani rahmatullah alayhi also, he says the same thing. He says that concentration in salah is in these four things. چنانچہ, now he further explains, چنانچہ مکتوب بنام حضرت میر محب اللہ خلیفہ خاص حضرت مجدد صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ بعد حمد و صلاح تحریر فرماتے ہیں. He says that the خلیفہ of حضرت مجدد الفیسانی رحمت اللہ علیہ, he writes this in his کتاب after praising اللہ تعالیٰ and sending درود upon نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. جاننا چاہیے خدا تم کو سیدھا راستہ دکھائے کہ نماز کا مکمل ہونا اور اس کا کمال فقیر کے نزدیک اس کے فرائض و واجبات اور سنن و مستحبات کا ادا کرنا ہے. He says that you should know, may Allah Ta'ala keep you on the straight path, that the completion of salah and the perfection of salah according to this servant, referring to Mujaddid al-Faisani rahmatullah alayh, that according to him the completion and the perfection of salah is in fulfilling the faraiz, that which is compulsory, the wajibat, the sunan and the mustahabbat. جس کو کتب فقہ میں تفصیل سے بیان کر دیا گیا ہے. And what are the farz of namaz, what is wajib, what is sunnat and what is mustahab, this has already been written in the various kitabs of fiqh. ان چار امور کے علاوہ اور کوئی امر ایسا نہیں ہے جس کو نماز کی تکمیل میں کوئی دخل ہو. He says, besides these four things that we're talking about, there is nothing else that contributes to the completion and the perfection of salah. The completion and the perfection of salah is only in these four things and nothing besides these four things. خشوع انہی چاروں امور میں مندرج اور خضوع انہی امور سے وابستہ ہے. He says the خشوع, where a person internally is connected to Allah Ta'ala from the heart. His heart is concentrating and connected to Allah Ta'ala. So that خشوع and خضوع, the outward postures of salah, he says this is also connected to the farz, to these four aspects, farz, wajib, sunnat and mustahabbat. آگے چل کے لکھتے ہیں further he writes, لا صلاة الا بحضور القلب, میں حضور قلب سے مراد امور مذکورہ چار گانا میں حضور قلب ہے. He says where it is mentioned there is no salah except with the presence of the heart, with the consciousness of the heart. There he says that the presence and the consciousness of the heart is in these four things, which he is repeating again here. یعنی دل کی توجہ اور خیال کے ساتھ نماز کے تمام فرائض و واجبات سنن و مستحبات کا ادا کرنا. That in namaz, with concentration, fulfill the faraiz, the wajibat, the sunan and the mustahabbat. تاکہ کوئی کھوتائی ان امور میں واقع نہ ہو. So that there is no deficiency in these four things. That with perfection, do these four things. اس کے علاوہ اور کوئی حضور قلب فقیر کی سمجھ میں نہیں آتا. مجدد الفیسانی رحمت اللہ علیہ says that according to this servant, he says that حضور قلب, concentration, is in nothing else except these four things. In my heart, these are the only four things which constitute concentration of the heart. نماز کا کمال انہی امور کی کما حق ہو ادائیگی ہے. He says the perfection of namaz is fulfilling these four things as they ought to be fulfilled. کہ یہی نماز ہے. This is namaz. جو لوگ اس کے علاوہ کسی اور چیز محویت وغیرہ سے نماز کا کمال چاہتے ہیں, وہ کمال نماز کو غیر نماز سے تلاش کرتے ہیں. He says those people that want perfection in salah in anything besides this, such as being absorbed totally in salah from the beginning of the namaz to the end of the namaz, they just want to be absorbed in salah and they think that this is perfection of salah. He says they are looking for the perfection of salah in something that is not salah. He says perfection of salah is not only being absorbed in salah from the beginning of your salah till the end of your salah, but perfection of salah is in fulfilling these aspects, faraz, wajib, sunnat and mustahab. مگر ان مذکورہ امور کا دل کی توجہ اور خیال کے ساتھ ادا ہو جانا غافل قلب کے ساتھ اور قلبی خشوع کے بغیر ممکن نہیں. But he says to fulfill these things now with concentration of the heart, with concentration of the heart and attention, he says it is not possible that you will do this with a heart that is negligent and a heart that is void of concentration of khushu. Your heart has to be connected to Allah Ta'ala, there must be khushu in the heart, then you will be able to fulfill all these things, your faraiz, your wajibat, your mustahabbat and your sunat. اور قلبی خشوع قلب کے ذکر سے متاثر ہوئے بغیر ممکن نہیں. And he says for a person to get concentration in the heart, this won't happen until and unless the heart has been affected with zikr. Meaning that first you must do a cause on zikr. When you do a cause on zikr, this will have an effect on the heart. When this has an effect on the heart, now a person will be able to attain some level of concentration in his salah. So zikr will help a person to attain concentration in his salah. Jaise ke piche bhi bayan kiya gaya. Just as this has already been explained in the past, that a person has to do a cause in zikr, then he will attain a level of concentration. Ki is tarah namaz parne mein puri kamyabi unhi ko hasil ho sakti hai, jin ke dil ko zikr shughal se kuch nisbat-e-yaddaash hasil ho chuki ho. He says that for a person to benefit and to be successful in his salah, only those people that have made zikr, they done some spiritual exercises, and they have attained some level of concentration, they will attain the success. In ko to namaz ki takmeel ke liye in umur ki adaigi thodi si koshish se hasil ho sakti hai. He says for these people that have made the zikr, spiritual exercises, and they have got some concentration, for them to attain this with a little bit of effort, he says they will achieve it. For example, these faraiz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat, they make a little bit of effort and they will be able to now be conscious of these aspects in salah. Aur iske ghair ko jiske dil mein zikr aur khushu nahi hai, and as for those people that never do the squat or cause of zikr, they don't have concentration in them, in ke liye namaz ki adaigi dushwar hai. He says for them even to perform namaz becomes difficult. They can't even perform namaz. جیسے کہ قرآن پاک میں ہے, as Allah تعالیٰ mentioned the Quran, نماز خاشعین کے علاوہ دوسروں پر دشوار ہوتی ہے. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ, that نماز is very difficult except for those people that have concentration in the heart, they have خشوع in them. For them, نماز becomes easy. But for those that don't have the خشوع, the concentration, he says for these people, نماز is very very difficult for them to go and perform salah. So that's the first aspect. دوسری بات یہ ہے کہ دوسری بات یہ بھی حقیقت ہے. He says the second thing, this is a reality, کہ ظاہر کا اثر باطن پر اور باطن کا اثر ظاہر پر پڑتا ہے. That external things will have an effect on the internal of a person, and the internal has an effect on the external of a person. Many a time the person says that don't judge me, my inside is clean, don't look at my outside and judge, the inside is clean. No, Hazrat says no, that what is on the inside, this will have an effect on the outside, and what is on the outside, that has an effect on the inside of a person. That is why there is one dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah make this dua, Allahumma ja'al sirri khayran min alaniyati waj'al alaniyati salihah. Wallah, Allahumma ja'al sirri, wallah make my inside khayran min alaniyati, better than my outside. That many times a person outwardly likes to be very pious, he wants to show himself that I'm a very pious person, I'm a good person, but internally we don't know what is the condition. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that make this dua, that Allah make my inside better than my outside. We want our outside to be pious, Allah make our inside also pious. وَاجْعَلْ اللَّهُمَا تَسْتِرْهِ خَيْرًا وَاجْعَلْ عَلَانِيَةِ صَالِحًا, and my outside, Allah make it righteous. So see, the outside, it has an effect on the inside, and the inside also, it has an effect on the outside of a person. I'm not sure if it's Khaja Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi or who it was, but one of the poems where he says, تیرے محبوب کے یا رب شباہت لے کے آیا ہوں, حقیقت اس کو تو کر دے میں صورت لے کے آیا ہوں. He says, تیرے محبوب, your beloved نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, he's referring to نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, تیرے محبوب کی یا رب, او اللہ, your beloved نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, I have brought his outward appearance, I've worn the beard, I'm wearing the kurta, I'm wearing the topi, the outward appearance of نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, this I have brought, and this is what I have come with. حقیقت اس کو تو کر دے, اللہ you make it reality. Reality we don't have, we are very very far from reality. Allah you make it reality. Sur, میں صورت لے کے آیا ہو, I have brought the form, I brought the shape, but you make me a true follower, one that acts on the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you see, the outside, it has an appearance, has an effect. In the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when Fir'aun, he met Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he saw the asa of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, how he turned into a serpent, and how he will put his hand under his arm and it will come out shining under his armpit. So at that time he asked his ministers, now what should we do? So they said, inna hadha la sahirun alim, this is a great magician, knowledgeable magician. Yuridu an yukhrijakum min ardikum, he wants to take you out from your earth, he wants to remove you from your post. So he said, famadha ta'murun, what's your mashwara, what must we do with this man? So they said, أرجي وأخاه, They're holding him back here, detaining him here. And his brother Harun Ali Islam hold him back. Arji waqa wa arsil fil madaini hashirin. And in the town, send people. They will gather all the magicians that are around, bring all those magicians and come. It's mentioned in the tafsir, ya'tuka bi kulli sahirin alim. Every knowledgeable magician that was present in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they brought him. And according to Mufassirin, they say there were 15,000. Some narrations, some 15,000. And these 15,000, they came. It is mentioned they imitated Musa alayhi salam. They made a mock, as a mockery, they imitated Musa alayhi salam by taking the appearance of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. This appearance, Allah Ta'ala loved it so much. Allah Ta'ala loved it so much that all of them, they brought Iman and they accepted Islam. They brought Iman on Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. At that time when Fir'aun, he said, they said, Amanna bi Rabbil Alameen. We brought Iman on the Rabb of the universe, Rabbi Musa wa Harun, on the Rabb of Musa alayhi salam and the Rabb of Harun alayhi salam. They made it very clear because Fir'aun also said, Na'udhu billah, Ana Rabbukum al-Ala, I am your Rabb. So here they clarified it. We're not talking about you. We're talking of the Rabb of Musa and Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. So they said, Fir'aun said, Amantum lahu, Amantum bihi qabla an adhana lakum. Achha, what he said? لَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ ثُمَّ لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I'll cut your hand and feet from the opposite side and I will crucify you. They said, you can do what you want. We have brought Iman upon Allah and His Rasul. They brought Iman. This was the level of Iman. How did it come? It came just on the appearance. So just the appearance of a person, it has an effect on the life of a person. A person that wants to go into the cinema, he won't go into the cinema if he's wearing the kurta. He'll take out his kurta first. He'll change and then he'll go into the cinema. He won't go to his topi even into that cinema. Why? Because he knows that when I'm wearing this kurta, when I'm wearing this topi, who am I resembling? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who am I representing? The deen of Islam, the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So here also he's saying that the outward has an effect on the inside. And the inside has an effect on the outside of a person. Agar qalbi khushu aur dhikr wala thori tawajjuh se zahiri mustahabbat ko ada karega, to iska asar batin ke khushu ko bhi barha dega. He says, if a person has concentration in the heart, this is the inside thing. Concentration, khushu is a quality of the heart. And would this, he makes a little bit of zikr. So would these two qualities, this concentration of the heart and zikr, if a person gives a little bit of importance to an outward act which is mustahab, he says this will increase the internal khushu and concentration of a person. That a person that got some level of khushu in him, concentration of the heart, and would that he makes a little zikr. He says, would this, he now gives some attention to a mustahab act of salah, which is an outward act. It is not a quality of the heart, it is an outward act. This will increase his internal concentration. He's giving an example to prove this. Misal ke tor par, ba waqt-e qiyam, sajda ki jagah par nazar rakhna. When a person is standing in salah. So at that time it is mustahab that a person keeps his gaze at the place of sajda. This is a mustahab of namaz. It's an outward thing. Your gaze being at the place of sajda, this is mustahab and an outward act of namaz. Ruku ke waqt qadamo par. When a person goes into ruku, then your gaze should be kept on your feet at that time. This is a mustahab of namaz. Aur sajde ke waqt naak ke nok par nazar jamaye rakhne ko amal mein laayega. Jamaye rakhne ko amal mein laayega. And he says that when a person is in sajda, then at that time he will keep his gaze focused on the tip of his nose. Just focus on the tip of the nose. To nazar ki intishar se mahfooz ho jayega. This person will be protected from his gaze going around all the time. If you keep it in these places, your gaze will remain focused. Aur namaz huzur e qalb ke saath muyassar ho jayegi. And he says, together with this, you will be able to read your namaz with complete concentration. If you focus, if your gaze is in order, he says you'll be able to read your namaz with concentration, which our Hazrat explained, that even a person that was unable to control his gaze out of the masjid, he was looking at na-mahram woman, etc. He says just on one bayan, where he heard this, that it is mustahab to keep your gaze at the place of sajda when you're standing, when you're in ruku on your feet, when you're in sajda on the tip of your nose, and when you're in a sitting posture, then on your lap, and when you make salam, then on your shoulders. He says this person, he couldn't control his gaze. So he had a problem, he made a second nikah, he thought I'll be able to control my gaze. He was unable to do it. He says, then he heard this bayan, that this is mustahab, do this in salah. He says he did this, in 2 months he got complete control of his gaze. So see, when the gaze, this is a mustahab of namaz, he's saying, when this will be in order, with a little bit of attention, you get this in order. He says the concentration of the heart also will now increase. Why? Because if the outside is in order, this will have an effect on the inside of a person. جب یہ اتنا برا فائدہ مستحبات کی ادائیگی میں ہے تو سنن و واجبات و فرائض کو دھیان سے ادا کرنے کی اہمیت ظاہر ہے. He says that when a mustahab act, it has so much of benefit. Mustahab act has so much of benefit when you discharge it. Then if a person discharges that which is sunnat, that which is wajib, and that which is faraz with concentration, then the importance of this is absolutely clear. How much more benefit won't you get if you do the faraz, wajibat and sunnat with concentration. چنانچہ ان میں کوتاہی کرنے سے نماز کا کمال تو کیا کبھی نماز بالکل ہی ادا نہیں ہوتی. He says that if a person, he is negligent and he does not fulfill the faraiz, the wajibat, the sunan, then he says leave that, losing the reward of namaz. There are those times where a person, his namaz doesn't even take place because you have left them out. اور کبھی ناقص رہ جاتی ہے. And sometimes your namaz is deficient, it is incomplete. اور صلات منافق کہلاتی ہے. And this is now referred to as the salat of a hypocrite. As hypocrite is namaz, this is our salah if these faraiz, wajibat and sunan are left out. جس کے متعلق وعید آئی ہے کہ وہ غفلت والی نمازی کے لیے بدعا کرتی ہے. He says regarding which there are warnings in the hadith that a salah that has been read with negligence, he says that namaz makes badwa. It curses the person that is reading namaz. So a person is reading namaz but he's been cursed. And what does the namaz say? دَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ كَمَا دَيَّعْتَنِي. May Allah Ta'ala destroy you as you have destroyed me. Why? An example is given of this. For example, Allah Ta'ala has given us these hands. Now these hands that we have, what are these? These are begging bowls. They are begging bowls. They are attached to our body. Whenever a person has a need, all that he has to do, he picks up his hand. And now, he attaches it to his body, and here he is making dua. He made it into a bowl. Yeah, was it says that, see, the hand also when we make dua, there must be a little gap when we make dua. And the fingers also slightly apart. And Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that it must be in line with the second button. The second button of the kurta, second button, it must be in line with that. And the qibla of the hand, this is the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. So he faces up towards the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. So any need that a person has, all he has to do, he has to take out this hand of his. And he has to make dua to Allah Ta'ala. And whatever his need is, Allah Ta'ala will fulfill that need. He says that we, by keeping it our hands spread out like this, we are saying that we don't want little bit. Because when the hands are spread out, if you put little bit, it's going to fall out. So here we want a lot. And after we got what we want, we ask from Allah Ta'ala, we now pass the hand over the face. And we say, وَجَدْنَا مَا طَلَبْنَا. That what we asked for Allah, we have now got. Allah Ta'ala has given it to us. And no dua is ever rejected in the court of Allah. Every dua is accepted. To the extent when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is mentioned, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. He made dua. According to some commentators, they say that through wahi, Musa alayhi salam was informed. And some say there was some indication by which Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came to know that Fir'aun and his people, they're not going to get hidayat now. So he made dua to Allah that, oh Rabb, you have given Fir'aun and his leaders the adornment and the wealth of this worldly life. They say so much of wealth he had that his wealth used to run all the way from Egypt, from Misr, right up to Ethiopia. There were mines that were there. So many mines, according to the Kitabs of Tafsir, that belonged to Fir'aun, was under the rule of Fir'aun. So he said, all this, what is he going to use it for? رَبَّنَا لِيُدِلُّ عَنْ سَبِيلِكَ. To misguide people. Take people on the wrong path. So that is what they are using it for. So he made dua, رَبَّنَا تَمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Wipe out their wealth. Wipe it out. وَشْدُدْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And make their hearts hard. فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُ الْعَذَابَ الْعَلِيمِ. That they don't bring iman until they see the punishment. Because when you see azab, and at that time now a person wants to bring iman, that iman is not accepted. But he made this dua because he knew that hidayat was not destined for these people. It is mentioned Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made this dua. And Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, he said ameen to that dua. So here commentators say that even when one person makes dua and the other person he says ameen to the dua, then both are considered as making dua. Why? What's the proof? Allah Ta'ala says in the next verse, قَالَ قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا. That both of you, your dua has been accepted. Musa alayhi salam's dua is also accepted. Harun alayhi salam's also, his dua was accepted. But who made the dua? Musa alayhi salam. Harun al-Islam, all he did, he said Ameen. But both of y'all were in dua. فَاسْتَقِيمَ. But you continue, you remain steadfast, do your work now. Your da'wat, your tabligh, don't worry about anything else, you continue doing your work. Why? It is said that dua was accepted at that time. But the effect of this dua, when did he see the effect of this dua? They say he saw the effect of this dua after 40 years. The Nabi of Allah is making dua. And he saw the effect of the dua when? After we make dua now, we want to see the effect immediately. After 40 years, he saw the effect. It is mentioned the orchard that Allah Ta'ala had given Fir'aun. All these mines, all this that Allah Ta'ala had given, all the gems and the jewelry used to come out from there, all turned into stone. All turned into stone. They couldn't benefit from anything. And in this way, Allah Ta'ala wiped them out. But after 40 years. So we think Allah Ta'ala gave us this begging bowl. Now this begging bowl that Allah Ta'ala has given us, if a person is in need, he's supposed to ask. And he didn't ask. But what he did, he went and stole from somebody. So what Sharia says? Now cut his hand out. He's not worthy of this begging bowl anymore. Because he's supposed to ask, but he went and stole. And what were du'as we have been taught to ask? رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا. Goodness in dunya, goodness of akhirat, everything taken came in one short du'a. اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية. In here we're asking for forgiveness. والعافية, our well-being, our health is taken care of here. والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. And well-being in our deen, our dunya, our akhirat, everything has been taken care in this one du'a of ours. So when a person doesn't ask from Allah Ta'ala, Sharia says now cut the hand. So exactly now understand it in the same way, that here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us namaz. And this namaz has been given to establish your connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So your bond must become strong with Allah Ta'ala. That I'm in conversation with Allah Ta'ala. And now a person, he is not worried about the faraiz, the wajibat, the mustahabbat. There is no concentration in the salah. So what's the consequence? That take his salah and like a dirty rag, it must be thrown upon that person. And then the salah makes dua, may Allah Ta'ala destroy you as you have destroyed me. Allah Ta'ala save us from this. Badua karti hai. Aur purane kapre ki tarah lipet kar muh par mar di jati hai. And like an old rag, it's taken and thrown on the face of a person. Aur agar koi farai sunan wajibat ko to parwak na kare, aur Allah Ta'ala ki huzur hi mein mustagrak hai, chahiye is dauran koi waswasa bhi na aaye, to wo namaz ke hukam ko pura karne wala nahi kehlayega. Hazrat further explains, he says here, let's say if a person, he doesn't worry about faraz, wajib, sunan, all this, he's not worried about in namaz. But he wants to be totally absorbed in his namaz, only me and my Allah. And from the beginning of his namaz to the end of his namaz, he is only thinking of Allah Ta'ala to the extent not a single thought affects him in his namaz. So he says, outwardly what we will say, what a namaz he has read. Because it was only him and his Allah. But he left out faraz, wajibat, sunan. He says, in reality, this person hasn't even performed his namaz. You won't even call him, we won't even term him as a person that has performed his namaz. Because we need to understand what is the demand of Shariat. What is it that Shariat wants from a person? And what is the demand of Shariat? What is the desire of Shariat? That is deen. For example, a person wants to read namaz. So, it's the time now of sunrise. He says namaz is ibadat. So I'll read namaz now at sunrise, I'll get sawab. Or it is a time of zawal, and he wants to read namaz. Or it's a time of sunset, and he wants to read namaz. So namaz is such a great ibadat. But Sharia says at this time you can't read. You can't read namaz. At sunrise you can't read. At zawal you can't read. At the time of sunset you can't read. Person says that maghrib namaz I want to read 4 rakats. I'll get extra sawab because I'm reading one extra rakat. Sharia says no sawab. Your 3 rakats also null and void. Because this is not what Sharia wants. Sharia wants you to read 3 rakats. You do what is the command of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The other we mentioned also a person goes to Makkah tul Mukarramah. He goes for Hajj. In Makkah, in the Haram of Makkah, every namaz multiplied 100,000 times. But comes the 8th of Zulhijjah, Allah Ta'ala says, no, move. Leave your 100,000 one cent. Now go to Mina. That is the command of Allah Ta'ala. So you have to leave your 100,000 tawab and you go to Mina. Comes the 9th of Zulhijjah, Allah Ta'ala says, not even in Mina. I don't want you even in the boundaries of the Haram. Now come out of the boundaries of the Haram. Go to Arafat, which is out of the boundaries. Now go there on the 9th of Zulhijjah. So what is the command of Allah Ta'ala? That is what is required in Shariat. Deen is not according to logic. As Ali radiallahu anhu said, لَوْ كَانَ الدِّينُ بِالرَّايِ لَكَانَ أَسْفَلُ الْخُفِّ أَوْلَى بِالْمَسْحِ مِنْ أَعْلَاهُ. That if deen was according to logic, then making masa on the bottom of the leather socks would have been more worthy than making masa on the top. Why? When you walk, the bottom gets dirty. So you should make masa on the bottom. But he says, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَمْسَهُ عَلَىٰ ظَاهِرِ خُفَّيْهِ. I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam making masa on top. So leave your logic one side and do what is the command of Allah. So he's saying the command of Allah is worry about the faraz, wajibat, mustahabbat. That is important. Not that a person is now only absorbed in his salah from the beginning to the end and all this is neglected. بلکہ شاید ایسے نماز پڑھنے والا زیادہ گنہگار ہو. He says a person read namaz like this, that is absorbed fully in his salah, but no faraz, no wajibat, no sunan. He is more sinful. He is going to get guna over here. کہ یادداشت اور حضوری کے باوجود نافرمانی کر رہا ہو. That in spite of him being he is concentrating so much in salah, he is actually in the disobedience of Allah تبارک و تعالی. We'll continue from Allah تعالی کی وسط.